welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys are having a wonderful day today. The hurricane has actually started to push out of Florida into Georgia now, up way up in North Florida into South Georgia. Central Florida is actually starting to see some rain right now. About 20 minutes ago, the sun came out partially, so it's starting to dry up, and it should actually be a decent weekend for us. But everybody else in Georgia and up north, this hurricane looks like it's going to hit you guys now. But we took the brunt of it in Florida, like usual, so you guys should be all right now. How are you doing today, Deb?
Oh, I'm doing absolutely wonderful, Austin. I'm up here in Alabama, headed home. I should be home either tonight or tomorrow. So if we're going to be live again, hopefully on Monday, even though it's going to be Labor Day. We're not sure yet. We're trying to decide on what we're going to do on that, but it'll be my first day back, you know, in the office in 3 weeks, so I'm looking forward to being there. So we may or may not be live on Monday, but today we're certainly live. And how much flooding did you get on the street out in front of your house, Austin?
Pretty solid. I mean, this morning, from across and then to the other side, almost the entire road was covered, but it started letting off a little bit this morning, so it's starting to drain a little bit more, but there's still a large amount of standing water all over the street. It's just part of it being
okay,
in Florida.
It's in the neighbor's yard across the street, too?
Oh, absolutely. Very, very high in the neighbor's yard.
Well, good. That let the county know where they can send our tax dollars here of our flooding problem.
Yeah, like we've tried, but we'll see. Maybe they'll figure it out this time, but I don't know. It's hard to get the county to do much of anything down here.
Well, here's an interesting video that was done with Soros, and it says that Trump is going to win in a landslide victory over Hillary, but President Hillary is going to be done. It's already a done deal. And the Electoral College has been hacked, and they've already determined that Hillary will win the election. I don't even know what to say about George Soros, but who in the H-E double six this guy think he is? Obviously, being a Rothschild crony, he's running all of our election politics through the Exchange Stability Fund and his vast fortune was provided to him through the Rothschild cartel. What do you think? I know you saw that story also. What do you think about that?
I mean, it's pretty disheartening to realize that these guys are that brazen now that they just simply come out and say, you know, this is what we're doing. You're not going to like it. We're just going to do it anyways. But I do have to remember that, you know, last year they were saying that they weren't going to allow Trump to be basically the Republican nominee. They were going to stop that. And the issue that they have going for them, that the issue they don't have going for them, is that the American public now is really starting to wake up on what's going on. And the more and more that we keep waking up and everybody starts realizing that this is just a giant game and that essentially we're just pawns in this game if we allow ourselves to be, then they're going to start having more of an issue, because if we can really, really get the general population awakened and ready to go and understand that this is a fraud, this is a scam, then we may be able to prevent some of this from happening and we may be able to get them in office, hopefully.
Well, I agree with you. The thing about it is that we talked about this yesterday at the length. I'm not really sure what Trump could do about it. I mean, I think Putin probably has his hackers working on a full throttle right now to get hacked over. I don't know. It's so funny. We're starting to sound like Zimbabwe, and our elections are being rigged, and ballot boxes are being stuffed, and we've got some dictator in charge calling all the shots. I mean, it's hard to believe that this is the United States that I was born in back in 1955. And that it's deteriorated to this point. I don't really know what to say about it. That the fact that a person like George Soros comes out openly on video and says that Trump's going to win in a landslide victory, kind of like Ronald Reagan did, but the election belongs to Hillary. She will be crowned the president or the new queen of Benghazi, I guess we'll call it. I don't know, Austin. We're going to find out what's going to happen here pretty quick. I just can't believe that our entire election system is that corrupt now that we can't get any type of legitimacy out of the Electoral College. And gosh, these guys, if they don't vote for the popular vote and they go against, but they said the same thing. Like you said, Austin, they said the GOP would never nominate Trump, that it was a fixed deal, never going to happen. Rubio, Bush, one of those other guys that just get in, or basically the one who looks like Grandpa Munster, Ted Cruz, and that he was going to get in. But the reality is it never happened. I mean, these guys couldn't overcome overwhelming landslide for Trump. So that's what I'm going to believe, God. He's going to make this thing happen and convict the minds, the spirits of the people that are in Electoral College. and we're going to get a legitimate election, and we're going to move back towards nationalism. I know that one of the websites earlier said that Donald Trump was being figured into the end times like a messiah figure, kind of like an antichrist. I wish Christians wouldn't put that kind of crap, excuse my language, in. This is a Jewish rabbi who's not saved, not born again, not filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, remember, the Jews don't want Trump in because Hitler was a nationalist. They don't want him in. I'm being as blunt as I can right now. And they don't want him in because they're scared that Trump's going to pull a Hitler on the United States and start basically going against the minorities like Hitler did in Germany. That's not at all what Trump's going to do. He's not going to do that. He's already said that. Now he's working with Mexico to try to figure out a way to get this wall thing paid for. And I tell you what, if he can do all of this to make all of this happen, Austin, it's going to change the world back a little ways to where it was supposed to be. Now, of course, we'll only have 8 years of Trump. I hope he can get 2 terms if it was the first term. And then we'll basically go into a situation where they'll put another globalist back in again, and he'll do his own thing again and march the drum to those guys, unless one of Trump's kids step up and decides to run for president, too. What do you think, Oz?
No, you're absolutely right. We'll see. And the biggest thing that I've been praying for is, you know, the fact that his family will be safe, and basically, you know, he can keep everything together if he gets elected, including his family and everything else that's involved with it, because there's a lot of stuff that's going to be gunning for him essentially once he gets in there. This is also in other news, too. Now, speaking of the population revolting, almost a million-man march through Venezuela capital in Caracas to protest the president. Opposition supporters staging this rally for almost 2 years now call for Mr. Maduro's removal. They said close to a million people turned out for their march, and authorities dubbed it the takeover of Caracas. We have shown the world the importance of Venezuela and how much it wants change. They were dressed predominantly in white. They chanted, "We are going to bring down Maduro." Protesters said they had enough of the policies of the governing United Socialist Party of Venezuela. They said, "We're going to defeat hunger, crime, inflation, and corruption. They've done nothing in 17 years, and their time is finished." This is pretty crazy because I looked at some of the photos, and I mean, these guys literally completely locked down the entire capital. I mean, there's a lot of people there. I don't know if they got almost a million people there. I'm not exactly sure what a million-person protest looks like. I haven't seen too many of them. They're claiming that this is one of the biggest protests in history, but I thought this is pretty interesting now that Venezuela, they're pretty much at a low point, and they are completely and totally sick of what's going on down there to the point that they got this many people rallied up for this rally in the capital. It just shows you their level of basically resolve that they don't want to deal with this anymore.
Well, they're eating their pets.
Yeah. I
mean, they're eating their cats. They're eating their dogs. They're eating their parakeets. They're eating their parrots. They're eating everything. They're going out of their country on back roads and bringing food back into their country because they're out of food in Venezuela. I mean, what they've done to Venezuela when they got rid of Chavez is ridiculous because he wanted to start trading for euros, trading in gold, wanted his gold back, ends up coming down with cancer suddenly, ends up dying, and the entire country now is being punished, as far as I'm concerned, by the Rothschild Khazarian mafia is what it is. That's all it is. It's a mafia. It's a horrible, horrible mafia is what this whole thing is. And they're running the whole planet pretty much as far as all the central banks. Remember the Swiss guy a couple of years ago did a huge study, and he found that there was only one major bank in the entire world, and it was all run through the Rothschild banking cartel, and that it controlled all the world's central banks, and that basically 99% of all commerce went through that bank. That's exactly what Rothschild wanted. His name was actually Moses Bauer, B-A-U-E-R. He was a Frankfurt merchant. He had a red shield out in front of his office, and in German it's called Rothschild, which means basically red shield. And everybody always called him Rothschild, which means basically red Rothschild or red shield. And he finally changed his name to Rothschild because he became so wealthy and dumped the name Bauer. And then, of course, he basically took over the English Stock Exchange and basically overtook all of the world stock exchanges after a period of years after that. 1913, he took over the United States central bank. So it's been a pretty big mess with these guys, and they really need to get thrown out of power. But the problem is money makes the world go around. As long as these guys keep bribing people and put millions and billions of dollars, like in the Clinton Foundation, you know, into their private accounts, into the private foundation, they're going to pretty much keep doing what they want them to do, Austin. There's not a whole lot going to change that. What do you think?
No, you're absolutely right. They they, once you start controlling the money, and that's what he even said, you let me control the money, basically, I don't care who writes the laws. Essentially, who controls the money controls everything else. If you control the money, you control the armaments, that means you control the wars. This, the news story now just came out from the Pentagon. They didn't release this, but we found out now. They now are admitting they've lost, they're saying that they've misplaced and lost over 700,000 small arms in Iraq and Afghanistan over the period of the last 16 years. The Pentagon, in a massive organization, we know what they're involved in. A report from the New York Times suggested the Pentagon's record-keeping problems are very, very poor. We've talked about the trillions of dollars they've misplaced now. Now, a lobbying group in London called Action on Armed Violence gained access to the Department of Defense records to determine exactly how many small arms the United States had shipped to Iraq and Afghan forces. They found a total of 1.4 million weapons, ranging from AK-47s to pistols to sniper rifles. Now, this was not technically for the United States forces. This was to help the Iraq and Afghanistan military. So it goes to the list on here of all the different, the AK-47s, the M16s, the pistols, the light machine guns, the shotguns, the sniper rifles. Iraq took possession on paper now of 210,153 total weapons, with Afghanistan taking a total of 509,321. Well, wait a minute. Those numbers sound oddly low. They sound more like 730,000 weapons are what were actually delivered. 5 months later, after this company, after the Action on Armed Violence found this number, they saw these released from DOD and found that the DOD was only able to account for 48% of the weapons identified by the London-based organization using government documents obtained through the Freedom of Information Act. They have lost over 700,000 weapons, ranging from belt-fed MK-19 grenade launchers, PKM-762 machine guns, M203 grenade launchers, heavy machine gun 50 cal, which is an M2, heavy machine gun DSHKs, GP-25 grenade launchers. The list goes on. When the Pentagon was contacted about this, Mark Wright, the Pentagon spokesperson, said speed was essential in getting those nations' security forces armed, equipped, and trained to meet those extreme challenges. As a result, lapsing in accountability of some of the weapons transferred occurred. This is completely and totally egregious, and it goes to show you that the United States government was solely responsible for arming ISIS and every other terrorist organization in that country. Do you understand 700,000 small arms disappearing? Do you understand what type of weaponry that is? And we're not talking about they lost a case of pistols or even a case of frag grenades. We're talking thousands of MK-19 belt-fed grenade launchers, for heaven's sakes. These aren't things that just fall off the truck. You don't lose 1,500 grenade launchers. They don't just disappear. These things were intentionally given to ISIS and Al-Qaeda forces over there in the Middle East, intentionally. And now they're trying to sit there and say, well, now that we've got caught for it, we don't really know what happened. We tried to transfer the weapons as quick as possible, and there may have been some oversight. We lost a few weapons. 700,000 weapons? Really? You just lose that many weapons? Guys, this is crazy what we've been told and what we're being led to believe. Almost every single thing now the government is telling us is a complete and total lie, and we're starting to pick up on it, and we're starting to see the truth for what it is. They've gone completely tyrannical, and there's no question about it anymore, Deb.
Austin, number one, let's explain something to the government they don't seem to understand. The weapons policy has been for years in the theaters of war that they don't bring the weapons home because it costs too much. They leave the small arms. This was made very clear with that movie Nicolas Cage did. The Lord of War. And he showed that they leave these weapon caches behind. Well, these weapon caches, like you said, have armed ISIS. They've armed ISIL. We've already seen that they're dropping weapons behind enemy lines, saying they've messed up the coordinates, dropping small arm weapons. Take care of these guys. Remember, this is the Mossad. This was Turkey involved in all of this. This is the Saudis. It's all of these folks working together in unison to try to overthrow and destabilize the Middle East. I mean, the whole thing doesn't make any sense. So you look at the Balfour Declaration, the Treaty of World War One, Versailles Treaty, and the Potsdam Accord, until you start seeing what happened with all of these different behind-the-scenes negotiations and what they did, none of it makes any sense. And quite frankly, it's all stupid anyhow, because we already know that the United States is the number one export of military technology in the world. We sell our jets, we sell our ships, we sell everything, everywhere, to everyone. Now we wonder why the world has armed itself by copying our technology. In good grief, Clinton gave the ballistic missile guidance system to China. He gave the silent shaft technology for the submarine to China. Clinton did this in his presidency. And, I mean, it's the craziest thing you've ever seen, that he wasn't impeached, he wasn't tried for treason for having done this. So now we, the whole world is arming up. We wonder why South Korea is about, or North Korea is about to launch a satellite into orbit. I mean, think about this. If South Korea has a nuclear weapon, if Iran has a nuclear weapon, they all have satellite technology now. They launch something into orbit, and they detonate a nuclear bomb in our ionosphere. It's going to quickly cause an EMP, a pulse, or a Compton effect. It's going to knock out our electrical infrastructure in the United States. It's nuts, Austin, but we gave them technology.
No, you're absolutely right. And that's why I said before, that's why I wanted to bring this up to people, just kind of let them know what's going on and how there is. And you're right, that movie, Lord of War, goes into detail that. And it's a graphic movie. I suggest you don't watch it unless you can get it off TV or edit it. It's got some graphic scenes in it. But it goes into detail on weapon exporters and weapon traffickers and how at the very end it shows you, and he blatantly says this, the movie's so clear about it, he shows you that the United States government uses these guys, protects these guys, pays these guys, makes sure these guys don't go to prison, to traffic and transfer their weapons to different countries to start and increase conflicts with other countries on purpose. They do it on a repeated basis. That's why we saw when that leaked document came out about Fast and Furious, it wasn't just that Fast and Furious was ATF running thousands of weapons and machine guns and 50 calibers to Mexico. It was also about ATF running weapons to weapons traffickers in Mexico to run more weapons over to Libya and other countries in Africa to destabilize more countries to start more wars. That's what this all boils down to. And the irony about all of it is they want to come over here and give us legislation and say, oh, you guys can't carry a firearm in this area. It's forbidden. Oh, you can't have post-sample machine guns after 1986. It's forbidden. You can't have this weapon because the barrel length is too short. You have to pay us a tax stamp. It's forbidden. Yet at the same time, they're literally shipping hundreds of thousands of heavy and light machine guns to all these other countries to cause conflicts. This is interesting now, too, with Uber. Now, this was back a couple months ago, and I forgot to bring it up, but I wanted to address it now. Uber, you guys know, as far as connecting drivers with passengers and stuff like that, Uber now has gone out and said that basically any rider or driver found to have violated the prohibition of carrying a firearm in an Uber vehicle may lose access to the Uber platform. They say that the ride-sharing app has made their vehicles an official gun-free zone, which means they might find a large part of the gun-carrying clientele seeking out other companies for their transportation needs. Uber isn't the first, and they simply won't be the last corporation to take a stand on the wrong side of gun debates. Restaurants, gas stations, and other retail chains around the country have plastered no gun signs in the window, and Uber now has joined the ranks of gun-free zones, making their rides an easy mark for any criminal looking for a soft target. I don't know why these liberals don't understand this ideology on why you put a gun-free zone out in front of something. You attract criminals. They realize there will be no opposition if they want to do something. I really don't understand their ideology behind it, but one day, maybe we can get through enough people to stop this cascading effect of getting all these companies and states to restrict our gun rights, but I don't know if it'll ever happen, Ben.
Well, I personally, when I find out someone says I can't bring a concealed weapon to a store like in Florida, I don't go there anymore.
Yep.
I'll tell the manager, by the way, I'm not shopping here anymore. I'm not buying anything from you anymore. I'm a licensed concealed weapons holder. I take tactical training on an ongoing basis. I don't feel safe in your store not being armed because I don't know if someone else is going to come in who's going to be a criminal who is armed. And so I want you to know that I'm not coming back, and I'm not going to be part of this any longer. So goodbye. That's it. It's kind of like Target. We passed a Target today, and Alexa said to us, my daughter, she goes, are we ever going to go back to Target? And I said, no, we have no interest in going back to Target. No point. I mean, if they're going to do this transsexual bathroom or whatever it's going to be, let them go ahead and do it. Let them have fun with it. But we don't have to support it. And see, if we all did this in the aggregate, if we all got together and we just supported one another in this way, it's not going to be an issue. I mean, the manufacturers and these retailers would instantaneously start changing back. Now Target's saying, oh, we're going to stop the trans bathroom. We're going to go ahead and put all of the family bathrooms and turn them into a transsexual / family bathroom, because they're like an individual stall that you can block before, which they could have done that to start with, Austin. They could have done that to start with. They could have said, we're no longer going to have just a family bathroom. It would be a transsexual bathroom along with family bathroom with a lock on the door for one person to go in. And that would have been okay. Nobody would have said anything about that. But that's not what they wanted to do. They wanted to let old men and old perverts and old weirdos go into your girls' bathroom with your little daughters, stare over the cabinets at them. I mean, it's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard they would actually do that. Speaking of more ridiculous stuff, Melania Trump, I was waiting for this to happen. Donald Trump has a hot wife. We all know that. Hillary is not a hot woman. She's nasty looking, okay? We all know that. Though she does look better now with her hair highlighted. She'd be like a nasty dishwater filth. It was awful when she was younger. She's the typical college ugly nerd woman. Bless her heart. I feel sorry for her for that. But Melania Trump is now suing the Daily Mail out of England for libel. This is the Washington Examiner. Melania Trump filed a libel lawsuit Thursday evening against the British Daily Mail newspaper and a private blogger over their claim that she was a whore and an escort during the 1990s. Ridiculous. The wife of Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump and former supermodel announced earlier this month her lawyers would pursue legal action against the British publication reporting 100% false rumors about her vocation, as well as reporting she entered the U.S. without legal permission at the time. It was not immediately clear which court Melania Trump filed the suit in, how much she's suing the defendants for, or what type of damages she hopes to recover. Bravo, Melania Trump. We've never had a first lady this pretty or this smart. This lady speaks like six languages fluently. She was a successful businesswoman, supermodel, and Trump was blessed to marry this lady, and now basically they want to try to discredit her, Austin, and say all kinds of horrible things about her past, which are simply not true. I mean, what do you think about this, Austin? How ridiculous is this?
Well, like I told you, you know, months ago, that they're going to do every single thing they can to try and discredit Trump and to throw tomatoes at him. That's what they're doing. They're trying, I mean, even if it's blatant lies, they're trying to get stuff, because the truth about it is, once it goes in the tabloid, even if it's a lie, it doesn't matter. People still read it, and you still plant that seed in people's head. So there may be that small population on the planet, in the United States, that is on the fence about who they're going to vote for, and now they put something like this out, and they go, oh, well, no, that must be true because it's in the media, so I'm not going to vote for Trump now because his wife's such and such. And it's quite sad, but the media is doing the best they can right now at throwing every single thing they can at him because they want to try and discredit him from every angle. Now, this is something, guys, I had to look up. I did double check on this a few minutes ago because I wanted to make sure before I talked about this, because this is something that's so serious. This is pretty crazy with the CDC release 2 weeks ago, and now we've gone through it, and it's accurate. This is legitimate. This is not a hoax. The CDC, you can go on their website now, under the proposed rule by Health and Human Services Department, based on their CDC 815 of 2016 publication, Rules for the Control of a Communicable Disease, the CDC gives itself the power to forcibly apprehend healthy people en masse and detain them indefinitely with no process of appeal. They've given themselves a rule giving the power to take basically anybody hostage without due process. This is really crazy now. They go on to hear the CDC has three powers following the stages. Stage one, you and or city are declared pre-communicable. And it goes on to hear, CDC does not need to give a medical exam to declare you or your city pre-communicable. All that is required is for someone to say they suspect you or your city has some type of general disease and poorly defined opportunity for exposure. You do not even get a due process to prove you have zero opportunity exposed. Stage two, the CDC sneaks in what's called unlimited and unchecked authority. They also clearly state it's open-ended and there's no discussion of due process in this stage. And what would happen is the concept of unlimited citywide apprehension and detention would play out. It would completely lock down a city. In stage three, in order of an isolation, quarantine, or conditional release issued, the CDC gives those orders one chance in the first 72 hours to ask CDC for a reprieval, after which that unlimited detention is on the table. The CDC can stop, detain, and jail you anywhere under this rule. CDC claims it can check up, it can set up checkpoints at any bus, train, or plane airport in the world, or at any location that might affect interstate travel. It is not limited to international borders. It states, and I quote, any individual's refusal to be screened may result in quarantine, isolation, and conditional release. This can be anywhere, even on the highway, at a checkpoint on the interstate. They go on to say in here, the CDC may enter into an agreement with an individual upon such terms as the CDC considers to be reasonable, indicating that the individual consents to any of the public health measures authorized under this part, including quarantine, isolation, conditional release, medical exam, hospitalization, vaccination, and treatment, provided that the individual's consent shall not be considered as a prerequisite to any of the exercises of any authority under this part. And it goes to say the terms voluntary agreement for the sole person of making forced actions easier to perform, because it states voluntary agreements, if you do not agree to them, any individual who violates the term of the agreement or the terms for the federal order or quarantine for isolation or conditional release may be subject to criminal penalties. This is nuts. Basically what I just rattled off here, guys, in a nutshell, the CDC just gave themselves unlimited authorization to do whatever they want to you, whenever they want to do it to you, however they want to do it to you, under the guise of there may be some type of communicable disease, i.e. Zika virus, anything you can think of. They can use this as an excuse now and say they need to go in and engage you with a contract and stating that they need to detain you, hold you, and vaccinate you, even if it's against your will. If you refuse to allow them to do so, then you basically have charges placed against you, which means you will still be held. And I'm really not even sure. I'm still reading on this. I'm trying to understand how this even got passed and how the CDC has this much authority to engage in this. I think a lot of this falls under the Defense Authorization Act that President Obama signed, because it essentially gave the CDC carte blanche immunity to handle any type of situation with a communicable disease any way they see fit. But these guys just stepped over the line last month, because this is something right here that is so far beyond unconstitutional, I can't even understand it completely until I started reading it more and realizing these guys aren't playing around. They literally just gave themselves blanket immunity to detain you, hold you, and vaccinate you for any length period of time if they think you have a communicable disease or if there is a disease somewhere in your area, meaning they can completely lock you down and hold you and restrain you indefinitely. It is completely constitutional in their eyes. I mean, I expected something like this eventually, but I guess, man, when it happens, it finally kind of wakes you up to some point. What do you think about this, Dad? Do you really believe the CDC just pulled this?
Medical martial law. I told you.
That's exactly what it is.
I told our listeners last year it was coming. I knew when they were doing the Zika virus. They started doing the beta testing with the Ebola a couple of years ago. I did hundreds of shows on other people's networks on the Ebola virus. And actually, I was breaking a bunch of stories on Ebola. You got to remember, the boys at Fort Detrick, you know, because of the Biological Weapons Act, Dr. Francis Boyle did a show on this last 2 years or 3 years ago now. It made it illegal for the United States to conduct biological weapon testing in the United States as far as the 48 states, 50 states. So now they're doing it in the Horn of Africa. And this is what they were doing over there when the Ebola basically got loose. They basically field tested it to see what it would do, find out what kind of death rate it was. In fact, what it was a beta test. The see how many people we can kill. Let's see what the disease rate, let's see what the pathogen spread rate is. Let's see how long it takes them to die off of this. And they were able to kill, I think the numbers that over 10,000 died. I guarantee you it was much, much higher than that. And they want to do that. They want to basically release some type of pathogen, medical martial law. If they do it to suspend elections, they could. And say, okay, by the way, now we're under medical martial law quarantine. We have this pathogen that's been released. These big blocks of cities, we're going to have to go door to door and vaccinate forcibly everybody who's here. No one's going to have a choice, but they're going to be chained to the FEMA camp. It's going to be kind of interesting because we're watching our country go the way of the East German country during communism with the Stasi. That's what's happening here. This is actually worse than Hitler's Third Reich. My mom told me that basically she had never been stopped and asked for papers or anything like that. She was, they never really bothered her as a German citizen during the Third Reich. They said that, that what happened was after the war was over with East Germany, that's when so many people lost their rights and lost their ability to travel freely. Now, what's interesting about this is the secret police in Germany are the ones that also worked and trained Angela Merkel. And so you always got to remember that, guys. Angela Merkel is an East German communist. She was raised under communism in East Germany. So she's just bad news. And now she's showing her true colors on what she is. But no, I knew this was going to happen, Austin, with the Ebola testing a few years ago, because they had to make sure that in the event of an uprising of the population, let's say Trump wins and he's not allowed to become president and all hell breaks loose in the United States and people start rioting in the streets, there's a reason that the post office has guns now and ammunition. The CDC has guns and ammunition now. And all these government agencies have bought billions of rounds of ammunition because they're going to be the enforcement officers, the law enforcement officers. They're going to be the ones that run around and do what they need to do. Local law enforcement can't handle this. The local militias really can't handle it. The local military can't handle it. But all these government agencies combined are the tens of millions of employees that have now been armed to the teeth. So it's going to be interesting to see if the American population is going to stand for this and allow themselves to be forcibly inoculated against who knows what, which could be another thing like Baxter did a few years ago when we had the H1N1 scare, and they actually put live H1N1 into hundreds of thousands of vials that were shipped into Hungary and other places in Europe, and the guy found out that these vials contained live virus. We tested it on his ferrets, and they all died. So, I mean, this is some crazy stuff. This world, and we've talked about it so many times, is not what you think it is. It's ruled by the most wicked, the most vile, the most heathen, the most hedonistic, the most selfish, the most corrupt, the most satanic group of people we've ever seen on this planet. It goes right back to Genesis chapter 6, and I talk about this on every show. You've got to go all the way back to the beginning with the druid worship, the fallen angel worship, and all of this crazy stuff, because, guys, it's coming our way, and it's coming our way in a hurry. Now the CDC, I don't know who in the world allowed them to have this type of authority, and they must have done it through a, oh, by the way, if an Ebola or the plague or something happens, we've got to have the ability of the CDC to have unbridled authority to do what it needs to do. So we're doing this to help the American population. Hogwash. That's all it is. Hogwash. It's a complete and total lie. All it is about martial law, medical martial law, and taking away our rights. Seizing the nation by force, Austin.
No, and that's exactly right. That's exactly what it comes down to. And like I said, I think a lot of this stems back to the revised Defense Authorization Act because it hands a lot of control over to FEMA and also to the CDC. I'm going to read that subsection again on here. Public health measures authorized under this part, including quarantine, isolation, conditional release, medical examination, hospitalization, vaccination and treatment, provided that the individual's consent shall not be considered as a prerequisite to any exercise of any authority under this part. Now, that's a very strong statement because, like what Dad said, I think what this is going to come down to is them coming to you and forcibly saying, we need to vaccinate you. Do we have your consent? Or else, hey, we have a van right out front. We're going to handcuff you, arrest you, detain you, take you to a FEMA control center, and quarantine you indefinitely until we see fit. Or you can simply just take our vaccine right now. It's your choice. And the problem is a large percentage of the population, if that scenario occurred, they would consent because out of fear, they would give over their rights to the government and allow them to inject them whatever they said was safe for them. So this is pretty interesting to see. Now we see, like Dad said, we see Homeland Security buying up billions of rounds of ammunition. We see all these other subsections of the government stockpiling light weapons and all types of different ammunition, and we start putting the pieces together, it starts becoming perfectly clear that these guys are not playing anymore, that they're rapidly speeding up their timeline, and that they want to bring in their overall New World Order and their Agenda 21 as quickly as possible. This is also new, too, completely going against Second Amendment rights. The Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals now has ruled federal laws that prohibit drug users from purchasing firearms still apply to medical marijuana users, even in states where marijuana has been decriminalized medical or recreational use. Because of this, the court upheld the lower court's ruling that allowed a gun dealer to deny a gun sale to a person with a medical marijuana card. They stated, according to the ATF form 4473, which is the background check you have to get to buy a firearm from a local or authorized dealer, a person who is unlawful user of marijuana is not legally allowed to purchase gun from an FFL. The latest ruling maintains that federal law, not state law, will be enforced when buying and selling guns. These people may continue to own guns and maintain the right of self-defense, but they will not be allowed to purchase any new weapons from an authorized dealer. The court is saying that they could buy they could keep their guns and ammo because of the Second Amendment, but they will no longer be able to purchase any more firearms legally because of their medical marijuana ID card. This is something that goes back to what I talked about yesterday, where the government now just at whim decides, well, we're going to make a plant, something that you can literally throw seeds in your backyard and it'll sprout roots and grow. We're going to make that a federal felony, Scheduled One controlled substance in the same category as methamphetamine and LSD. This is what the government's doing now. They've just done it now with Kratom, the stuff that I talked about, the plant that it can actually help out with opiate withdrawal. They're Schedule One-ing that at the beginning of October. This is all about restricting our rights very slowly. Now, if you have a medical marijuana ID card, you will not be allowed to purchase a firearm from an FFL dealer. So this is something that we just see going progressively further and further down this rabbit hole like Dad talked about yesterday, to the point where if we keep going down this road, we're no longer going to be even able to reach America again. We're going to be so far down this dark hole. So, I mean, again, I really hope a lot of people start waking up, and that's why we continue to do this show, guys, and we appreciate the support. You know, I had a guy order the other day. He called in, placed an order with us, and, you know, wanted to order some stuff, and he flat out said, he's like, hey, I've been ordering products from somebody else. I've heard your guys' stuff is really good. I wanted to try it, and quite frankly, you know, I listen to the show. I want to support you guys, and that's why I'm ordering from you. And I, you know, thanked him profusely. I said, I really appreciate it, bud. You know, this is what we're trying to do. You know, we want people to be healthy. We want people to be strong. We want people to be able to come together in a situation like happened in Louisiana and bond and say, hey, we're going to get you out of this. We're going to help you here. We're going to get boats. We're going to pull people out. We don't need the federal government stepping in with any more laws, regulations, restrictions, or statutes. It's out of control, already out of control enough as it is. So, yeah, I really hope we can get some change in here this year, positive change, not the type of demented, derogatory change that President Obama promised us. That stuff was absolutely ridiculous. So, I don't know, Dad. Do you got any other stories for me? Oh, I guess we lost Dad. He must have dropped off on his connection. Well, this is interesting now, too. In Italy, we have 13,000 migrants have arrived in 4 days, completely overwhelming the response effort in Italy. Witnesses claim they are being battered by a humongous human tide of migrants. Libyan and Egyptian nationals are landing in the country en masse. In 4 days, over 13,000 have been taken in. A large percentage of them have been rescued at sea by the small southern port towns. Yesterday, over 1,000 people arrived in Palermo, 1,500 in Pozzolo, and Augusta took in 1,000, along with Messina taking another 1,000 in. It's all over the place. The Italian towns Pozzolo and Lampedusa have received thousands more migrants than they were expecting. Recently at Lampedusa, the largest of the three Pigelli Islands, required 24-hour medical care for 2,800 migrants. Backup doctors were sent in, but the coming and going to the emergency room is causing significant problems. Italians are trying to make split lanes so the entrance and exits are different, being scared that diseases will spread rapidly. And you cannot take a hospital and drop 2,800 migrants in or any individuals in that need 24-hour medical care that quickly of a period of time and not expect a massive strain, if not failure, on the emergency response system. I'm not sure why in the world they're allowing these people to come in like this level. They said that 113 immigrants landing in Pozzolo have already been confirmed to be carrying scabies. The ever-growing scale of this crisis is impacting upon the care available to the migrants that are already there. This week, two men from Guinea and Mali were arrested after they assaulted two hospital staff members and threatened them with broken glass after they asked for pocket money and were denied. I'm not sure exactly why these people keep coming to this country. I guess I understand why they're trying to get from the other countries, but I don't see how Italy can keep this going. They have to do something about this to stop this from occurring and getting worse and worse and worse. And I don't know
Italy's infrastructure is already so bad. I mean, you literally went from pothole to pothole, unless you were on a toll road. Some of the worst roads I've ever seen on the planet are in Italy. And I cannot believe that they're allowing these guys to continue to come in. And remember, a lot of these guys are just getting dumped off on the shore because, you know, they're a huge peninsula, and these boats are coming in from these other countries and just dumping them off and letting them off, and they're kind of just walking in town. This is a big George Soros thing, but I want to go back to this medical martial law for just one second. A few days ago, my friend Chuck Baldwin, who I had dinner with a couple weeks ago up in Montana, he wrote a paper called My List of the 10 Worst U.S. Presidents. Now, I want to read part of this to you, and I want you guys to read the entire article, because out of the 10 people he said were the worst presidents, especially the first 8, I was exactly with him on every single one of those. You guys can read it. But here's the worst president we've ever had in the United States. It's Abraham Lincoln. Let me read what he said. Without an ounce of doubt in my mind, Abraham Lincoln is America's absolute worst president. I amen him on this. He did not free a single slave, but what he did do was begin the process of enslaving free men. It is no hyperbole to say that Lincoln truly governed as a dictator, not as a president. Virtually every single problem we are having today and have ever had since Lincoln's presidency, with an overbearing, encroaching, authoritarian federal government in Washington, D.C., came as a direct result of Abraham Lincoln's presidency. Every single one. Abraham Lincoln destroyed the Washington Jeffersonian model of American government, replaced it with the Imperial White House. Ruled by executive order, his own statements prove that he carefully did what he did. He cared absolutely nothing for the black race and was indeed himself a racist. Now, beyond that, in his first inaugural address, Lincoln actually supported an amendment to the U.S. Constitution, which would have been the 13th Amendment proposed by Ohio Congressman Thomas Warren, that said, "No amendment shall be made to the Constitution which will authorize or give Congress the power to abolish or interfere with any state with the domestic institutions thereof, including that of persons held to labor service by the laws of said state." In other words, he would forever guarantee the right to own slaves. This is what people don't get about Lincoln. Lincoln violated every constitutional restraint in the office of the president possible. He used the Union Army to invade independent foreign states, and he invaded the state legislature in Maryland, kidnapping and incarcerating the legislators. This guy was horrible, horrible, horrible. His second president is my worst president, too. Second worst, Woodrow Wilson. We already know what he did. Income tax, Federal Reserve Act. We already know that. Franklin Delano Roosevelt, 3. Stepped right into the first America's first communist socialist president. Unbelievable what he did, how horrible he was. Then Lyndon Baines Johnson, George W. Bush, Barack Obama, William Jefferson Clinton, and George Herbert Walker Bush. Those are his first eight, and I agree with every one of those. Then he says Ulysses S. Grant, and also he says Richard Nixon, Republican. I'm not that, I don't think Richard Nixon was that bad. He's got caught doing something that almost all of them were doing, though he was, you know, pretty seedy. He was a pretty seedy guy. But we've had some horrible presidents, but it all started with Lincoln, Austin, and he basically attacked the South, we know that, with a false flag at the fort, and basically invaded the United States itself, its sovereign own country. The Confederate States of America had already succeeded months before and was an independent country. And he basically has started this tyranny 150 years ago, and Austin, we're still dealing with the mess that he's done. What do you think?
No, you're exactly right, and it's been a slow demise because the globalists knew bringing these people in and causing them to basically pull these unconstitutional acts like they've done for the past, you know, 100-plus years, there's no way that the American population would have ever gone for this if they would have flat-out pushed this type of aggressive, tyrannical behavior in just waves so quickly like they are doing now. But they've slowly prepped the population. They fed us the fluoride, the GMOs, the propaganda media, all the stuff they've done and used in conjunction with one another to really dumb down a lot of the general population to the point where they'll accept almost anything. And the fact that this whole thing with the CDC now hasn't gone viral in mainstream news discussing and asking why the heck the CDC thinks they have this type of power to do this, and nobody's bringing it up at all except for the alternative news media, really boggles my mind and just goes to show you how the mainstream media is completely bought and paid for by the globalists to push the globalist agenda. There's no question about it, because something like this with the CDC should have already been on Fox, CNN, every single aspect. Now, they may bring it up now in a short little blip and play it off as, oh, it's for our safety of our country. They may do something like that, but they're not going to go into detail on the real, true words that they're using in this proposal that they've done now. So I'm not really, like you said, man, it's gotten crazy. It really is. Even YouTube now is a new, it's just introduced a advertiser-friendly policy and will punish those who express politically incorrect opinions or dare to offend viewers by demonetizing their comments. New rules have sparked an outcry on the YouTube community now because they're so restrictive. It states now YouTube will retain the right to demonetize any videos that contain controversial or sensitive subjects or events, including subjects related to war, political conflicts, natural disasters, and tragedies, even if graphic imagery is not shown. Also, inappropriate language, including harassment, profanity, or vulgar language, will also be demonetized. This new policy will completely disincentivize YouTube users from discussing politically incorrect topics. The new policy bears hallmark to the communist Chinese government's social credit score system. I talked about this months ago, where internet users are punished by a private company and their peers for expressing unpopular views on social media. And if you talk about anything or write any comments on social media in China, it lowers your social credit score and basically demonizes you, and people shouldn't associate with you once your social credit score goes below a certain level. This move that they're doing with YouTube now is the exact same thing, and it's designed to scare anybody from coming out and talking about any type of anti-establishment political content. This is going more and more and more to the Stasi state, like Dad just talked about, with the medical martial law, with the complete and total infringement on our First Amendment rights, like they're doing in the colleges now, where you get in trouble if you refer to somebody as a he or a she instead of the pronoun that they prefer. I mean, just absolutely stupid stuff. I can't even fathom it at this point, but it's really happening. It's not a joke. You think it's a joke, but it's not a joke. It's really serious, and it's really happening now. But YouTube, remember, has been bought out by Google years ago, and Google is a complete and total globalist New World Order website that's basically connected directly to Homeland Security and the NSA. So it doesn't surprise me now that YouTube's coming in and trying to restrict people's content and making sure they don't say anything that they don't deem politically correct, Dad.
you know, I was just thinking as you were talking, Austin, you know, if George Bush had been a nominee, or Goldman Sachs Ted Cruz, the clone of Grandpa Munster, if he had been nominated, or Bubble Boy Rubio, who liked to go to the gay Bubble Boy parties, if he had been nominated, you know, and we'd had Clinton versus Bush or Rubio or Bubble Boy or Cruz, we would have no choice and this country would be lost. I'm just telling you, straight up, be lost. And, you know, we now have activism again, first time in voting, because we finally have realized that we have a person who's a nationalist, who wants America first, wants to make America great again, strong again, and he wants to get rid of all of this corruption in Washington, D.C. So, guys, it's just wonderful to me that we have Christian organizations all over the country supporting Donald Trump, supporting the vote. But then you see people like Pat Robertson, which I have absolutely no respect for any longer. I used to have a high level of respect for him with the 700 Club. But remember, guys, back in the 90s, he was going full tilt against the New World Order, and Bill Clinton basically told him that he was going to lose his nonprofit status. They were coming against Regent University, take his nonprofit status away, which would effectively bankrupt the university, and Pat Robertson capitulated, and he stopped telling the truth. Now it's just a big New World Zionist mess he promotes all the time. And the sad part about all of it is that Pat at one time really told the truth, but he doesn't do that anymore. Now, as I told you before, I voted Libertarian in the multiple elections I've gone before, but this new Libertarian candidate is unbelievably, this Gary guy, he's so bad. In fact, Libertarian Party is no longer Libertarian, as Governor of Massachusetts, William Wells, the Vice President candidate for Libertarian, supports gun control schemes, including banning semi-automatic firearms.
What?
Unfortunately, yes, the Libertarian candidacy now. Unfortunately, despite being the Libertarian candidate for Vice President, Wells continues the anti-gun wave. Wells recently confirmed his anti-gun stance and his ignorance on guns in general. The five-shot rifle that's a standard military rifle, the problem is if you attach a clip to it, so it can fire more shells. If you move the pins, so it becomes a semi-automatic weapon. He didn't know what he's talking about. Wells said during a Bolton TV interview in August, and those are independent criminal offenses. What's he talking about? And you can't do any of that. You can't take a five-bolt-shot action rifle and put a clip on it. It's a magazine. It doesn't work. Ridiculous. And also, Gary Johnson gets triggered over his immigration. Remember, he's for the Trans-Pacific Partnership, Transatlantic Partnership. He's a pick for Libertarian. He wants to now, he says we can't call them illegal populations anymore, illegal immigrants anymore. He wants to call them undocumented, not illegal, undocumented.
What?
I mean, he's a political correct nonsense. Well, guys, please listen to me. I've voted Libertarian, third party, so many times because I had enough of it. We actually have a true choice this time. We have a choice. Let's make our vote count. If you are not yet registered to vote, please, I ask you from the bottom of my heart as a Christian, go register to vote. Please. We can overwhelm the system with a massive, massive landslide victory. And I don't believe the Electoral College will take it away. I really don't. I don't. I don't think they can do that. I don't believe they have the ability to do that, Austin. So please, if you're not going to vote, please reconsider your stance and vote. Please. Very, very important. What's your next story, Austin? We're almost out of time.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Everybody needs to vote and understand who you're voting for. Cause I didn't realize that with the Libertarian candidate. I talked to you the other day. I brought it up on the show about some of his other viewpoints. But now the vice president one is completely and totally anti-gun. I don't even know if the man understands what the term libertarian means anymore. Then he's running on the ticket under the name of something he is completely diametrically opposed to. Being a libertarian means you don't really want to infringe on anybody's rights as long as nobody infringes on yours. Everybody can pretty much do whatever they want to do as long as it's in the safe bounds of protecting everybody else and you're not doing stupid, egregious things. Sitting there saying that you want to ban anything that's a bolt action that can accept a magazine, I do know of a few bolt action rifles that do have magazine feeds on them, but the most you can get is 7, 8, 9, 10 rounds and they're big bulky magazines. At that point, why do you even care? It doesn't matter if you had a 50 round magazine on a bolt action. You gotta rack the bolt every time you shoot a shot. That is something that doesn't even matter. I mean, to even specifically say that's something that needs to be restricted just goes to show you the level of ignorance this guy is working with. I can't even believe the vice president picky's that stupid. I don't even know he got through school. So I'm not really sure what's going on with these guys. I mean, they're like
Then he says the bolt action with the magazine, you can file the pin down, and it becomes fully automatic.
That makes a lot of sense with a bolt action, because that I would really like to see the mechanics on that. That makes a lot of sense to me.
Okay, well, my signal's breaking up again. I love you guys. Have a wonderful weekend, a Labor Day weekend. I appreciate you all at Awesome Finish the Show. Thank you for getting your multiple vitamins from us. Thank you for getting your other stuff from us. Thank you for signing up for our newsletter. We appreciate you. We love you. And thank you again for your support. Awesome. I'll talk to you soon.
Yes, absolutely. And we appreciate it, guys. It is Labor Day weekend. I was thinking it was later on, but yes, it is this weekend. If you guys need anything, give us a call, email us, healthmasters.com. You guys know where to get a hold of us. You always do. We have the coupon code running this weekend. We have the let me see which one we have we're running for you guys. I think it's still the Doug 5 or the Dave 5, D-O-U-G number 5 or D-A-V-E number 5. Either one of those will be running throughout the Labor Day weekend until the beginning of next week. They'll get you 5% off anything, including three-pack specials, kits, product of the week, you name it, that coupon's good, water distillers, everything. So enjoy that if you want to stock up on some stuff, that's there for you. We also still have the cinnamon extract fuel burner, as I talked about previously during the week, is on product of the week, on sale now for $38.19, almost $6 off. That's a big, big popular product. We've been burning through that since it's been on sale. But yes, if you guys need anything, give us a call, email us. Please be safe. Have a blessed weekend. I think we'll be taking off Monday. So we'll be back on Tuesday with you guys with a live show. You guys have a safe night, a blessed weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.